Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. How's it going?
We're doing well. Michelle Knezvik, good morning. How are you doing?
Living the dream as always, fellas.
Living the dream. It is Major League Baseball opening day. Congratulations out there. We were talking about that before the show. I remember as a kid, I used to get really excited. And we've talked about this before, like my interest level in baseball over the years has dwindled dramatically. But there is something that's that always is kind of special. It takes me back to my childhood about MLB opening day. And I didn't know until the update just a few seconds ago that apparently for the first time since, what, 1968?
68, all 30 teams
playing. How about that?
Today.
That is interesting. Yeah, because they've had a lot of, in recent years, usually they kind of separate one game out.
Yeah.
Which isn't so.
It's always like, and usually they'll like, teams will play today, and then for some reason they don't play tomorrow to leave in the room for the rain out.
Yeah.
And get back in there. I've always been like, oh, cool. So now, all these times where they're playing like 26 days in a row, but the second day of the year, everybody's taking a day off.
Yeah. Fun yeah. Day. No, I mean, man, I used to be so excited about opening day. I think it kind of depends on your fandom, though. Like if your team's good. I mean, Braves fans are excited today,
true.
Right? And you grew up rooting for who?
I grew up rooting for the Red Sox for no other reason than everyone around me was rooting for the Yankees. I mean, that was the heyday of, you know, Jeter and everything going on there.
Yeah, sure.
So I wanted to be different as a child.
So that 04 series was pretty sweet.
It was pretty sweet.
Oh, yes, it was.
It was the talk of Ellis Middle School back in the day.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome. But, yeah, look, MLB opening day today. Like you said, the Braves. Lots of excitement lots of things to be excited about the Braves. Obviously, I mean, you take a look around, the Dodgers, pretty
good. Joe's White Sox are playing today.
The Astros, Joe's White Sox playing today.
Are they playing in decrepit trainstation.com park or whatever the hell they playing?
It's the bottom of the barrel.
Save that for Ryan from Chicago.
Yes. Decrepit
I heard it yesterday.
Trainstation.com.
I think that's the name of the park, right? I don't know.
Yes.
Something like that.
I think you nailed it. But the Braves, I'm looking at FanDuel Sportsbook right now. Just to make the playoffs, they have the third best odds in the entire Major League Baseball. Dodgers are first at minus 850. The Astros, who just won the World Series, at minus 750. And then the Braves at minus 650. So heavy expectation for the Braves this year.
Yeah. No, that's – I mean, it's been fun to watch them. And it's been nice. It's amazing, you know, if you're a certain age, the Braves used to be such a laughing stock. You know,
yeah.
When I was a kid, basically it was like Dale Murphy and like crap, you know, but you had to watch them all the time. They're on TBS. It was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it's been 30 years of like a really
pretty good.
One of the best organizations in sports.
Yeah.
You know, even if they haven't finished the job as much as fans would want, pretty darn good.
Pretty darn good. I'm looking at the worst record odds. The Nationals are the best odds to have the worst record. Followed by the Oakland A's, the Colorado Rockies, the Cincinnati Reds, and then Joe's beloved Detroit Tigers.
Ah, there they are. I knew they'd be in there somewhere. It doesn't matter. The Lions are going to be, you know, amazing this year, so no one cares.
That is true, yes.
Playoff team, baby.
Yes, the city of Detroit is just burning with anticipation right now from the Detroit Lions. So happy MLB opening day. We know it's a special day for many of you. I know a lot of Reds fans who – over the years have just really enjoyed opening day, and then their enjoyment of the baseball season pretty quickly stops after that. But happy opening day to everyone out there who is excited about Major League Baseball coming up today. We got a lot to get into on the program here today. We'll have Preds assistant coach Dan Hinote coming up at 6:30. We'll get his thoughts on a big one tonight for the Preds as they take on the Pittsburgh Penguins, and our weekly visit with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports from 8 to 8:30. So looking forward to all that. And let's begin on the Preds because – after we got off the air yesterday, Joe, the Preds released a video of the post-game kind of speech by John Hines and Roman Josi after the win in Boston. We talked about the game against the Bruins yesterday. It's a heck of a win for the Predators. They go on the road. They take down the best team in the National Hockey League, and they do so with an incredibly depleted lineup that they're dealing with right now. But we all knew, I mean, this was an emotional win. It was, you know, even before the game, like watching Willie and C-Mace on the broadcast, and they were discussing the events at the Covenant School, and shout out to the Boston Bruins. They did a really nice ceremony before the game, kind of honoring those victims, and had the moment of silence before the game and all that. And the Preds go out there and they get the win. And this is what transpired in the locker room after that win last night with John Hines and Predators captain Roman Josi.
And you made yourselves proud. You made the organization proud. And you also made, in my opinion, I'm pretty confident that the city of Nashville proud to come in here and beat the best team in the league on the day after what happened, which was really, really good. Captain, what do you got?
Yeah, just, well, Pinesy, amazing job, boys. Just amazing. Last year, everybody, though, that was fun to watch. I mean, that's the best team in the league, and you just came in here, got 2 points. But like I just said, it's been a tough couple of days in Nashville, obviously. A lot of people affected, the whole community, our team. Obviously, was really affected by it. And so tonight, we're not going to give this to play. We're going to put it on the table and just be thinking of the families that were affected, first responders, and just everyone else that was affected. So we'll put it on the table. This is for Nashville, and we'll be thinking of everyone that was affected by this tragedy.
So for those of you who are unfamiliar, the Predators, after each win, they've got this helmet that they put on and they pass around and they just kind of tap each other on the head after that's done. And that was Roman Josi with the helmet in his hand last night. He put it on the table and then they just kind of they left it in the middle there, had the applause, and then took a team picture around it. So nobody gets the player of the game. They just gave it to the city of Nashville. I thought that was really cool of the Predators. That made its rounds throughout social media yesterday. And look, if you missed the beginning of Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace yesterday, I would encourage you to go back and check it out because Willie was very emotional yesterday to begin the show, just kind of discussing what was going on with the Predators and the locker room and all that stuff. And, you know, Caroline and Willie had a lot of emotion to begin the show yesterday, and I thought the post-game speech was really cool from the Predators, and good on the Predators for putting that video out. I know a lot of people really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, win or lose – these situations like this, and I think sports can be really important. But you think about the entirety of that day. Also, was it Cam? Because I know you guys had him on your show.
Caleb.
Caleb, 17-year-old. So
yeah, it was awesome.
Think about all the things that happened around this game. You know, it included beating, you know, kind of out of nowhere, beating the best team in the league. Shorthanded with a young team like that. And, very well said after the game by Hines and Josi. And obviously, this organization always has a great feel, I think, for the community, always beyond, you know, involved in the community. And so good on them for, you know, approaching it that way.
Yep, no question about that. I thought it was really cool. You brought up Caleb, the 17-year-old who got in there and read the lineup before the game. It was interesting. You know, Willie kind of took us behind the curtain of how that happened. So Ryan McDonough, you know, the team flew out on Monday, and Ryan McDonough stayed behind because he wanted to be with his family given what happened there. So he flew up to Boston day of the game on Tuesday and found Caleb in the airport and then set that all up. So it was a really interesting, you know, kind of pregame speech and certainly a postgame speech there from the Predators and their big win against Boston. And now, I mean, you're on the road tonight, Joe, against Pittsburgh, and we talked about the playoff picture yesterday. It was really an inexplicable night the other night between the Predators and the Jets. The Preds go on the road with a depleted lineup, and they take down the best team in the league, and Winnipeg gets shut out against the San Jose Sharks, who are 20-39-15 on the year. So Preds just 3 points back at the Jets tonight as they enter into play. So you've got a Pittsburgh team that it's got a lot to play for. They're holding on to their and trying to fight for their playoff lives tonight in Pittsburgh. And they got hammered the other night by the Detroit Red Wings. So you would expect that they come out tonight and really, you know, have a lot to play for. But Winnipeg, they have Detroit coming up on Friday, who just hammered Pittsburgh. They got New Jersey on Sunday, and they got Calgary next Wednesday before taking on the Predators next Saturday. So there's a stretch of games here for Winnipeg. Against Detroit, who just beat Pittsburgh, New Jersey, who's one of the best teams in the East, Calgary, who's right there with them, and then the Predators, who are right there with them. It's a pretty important stretch for the Jets. And they went through the soft part of their schedule, and you know they beat Arizona, they beat Anaheim, they lost to L.A., and really their last – well, one of their last gimmies was the San Jose game, and they screwed it up. They got San Jose again next week. Other than that, they have Minnesota and Colorado. So their schedule – like, if the Predators can hang in there and they can make that game in Winnipeg meaningful, the Jets' schedule coming down the stretch, like, they close out with Minnesota and Colorado same way the Preds do. That could be pretty interesting.
Speaking of Minnesota, Colorado, how about Minnesota going into Colorado last night?
They're playing well.
And that's a – boy. You know, we've been waiting. It's like, okay, at some point, the Avalanche going to be like, okay, all right, I guess we're right around April, time to wake up. But, man, that was one of those games where you kind of expected them to make a statement.
By the way, two goals from Freddie Gaudreau in that game last night. Nashville hockey legend Freddie Gaudreau.
He's
got 16 on the year, man.
Like, how about that?
I mean, for a guy that, you know, took a very unconventional path to get to the NHL, I mean, him on a good team, playing a big role, 16 goals. I mean, he's 29. It's not like he's some young guy anymore. It's pretty incredible to watch what he's done this year.
You know, I think back to when he had to come up and all that stuff. So, we're talking 6 years ago. So, he was 23. I actually remember, speaking of Willie, I remember Willie talking about a little bit on the air here about, you know, what they thought of him and stuff. And then, you know, not long after that, I was like, you know, come on. I mean, this is just like some ridiculous, like out of nowhere, out of body experience. But yeah, look at him. He's fine. He's pretty good.
Hit 44 points last year. I mean, he's playing pretty well. So all that to say, I mean, it sets up a big one tonight between the Predators and the Pittsburgh Penguins. And we'll get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. What do you make of the opportunity in front of this young group for the Nashville Predators? And could the Predators get a key body back tonight? We'll get into that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a bit of a dogfight. You know, like you said, really similar situations, and, you know, every point matters to both of us a lot. So I think it'll be a tough, tight game. But, you know, like I said, hopefully we can build some confidence off of what we did last night in Boston, just keep it going.
That was Luke Evangelista yesterday on Chase and Michelle. Preds taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight on the road. So the second game of a two-game road trip tonight for the Predators. The puck drop is at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And, you know, obviously this is a Pittsburgh team that is desperate. They're holding on to the last playoff spot right now in the East. In Florida last night, they get the win in overtime against the Maple Leafs after their coach basically cussed every single individual on the bench out, up one side and down the other last night. He's a really nice guy, and he gave it to him last night. If you missed that video, go check it out.
It's out there.
Paul Maurice of the Florida Panthers just unloaded on his team on the bench last night. For all the public to see, and that was very interesting. But whatever he said apparently worked, because they came back and they beat Toronto last night 3-2 in overtime. So that means Pittsburgh only 1 point ahead of the Florida Panthers right now in the playoff race. They're holding on to the final wild card spot in the East. So this is a massive game for the Pittsburgh Penguins and a huge test for the Predators after beating Boston on the road. Do you have what it takes to go on the road and take on Malkin and Crosby and the Penguins and hang in there and try to come away with 2 points tonight and make things really interesting? If you win tonight, if you're the Predators, you are 1 point behind the Winnipeg Jets with one game in hand on the Winnipeg Jets as well. So a big one tonight for the Preds.
Yeah. And again, we've talked about the schedule upcoming for the Preds. So this is a tough one. Like you said, a team with all the incentive, but there are better teams ahead on the schedule too. So Can you carry momentum from the last game into this one? Doesn't always work that way, but that's the idea.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, really the key to the game is going to be defensively, can you contain, the Crosbys, the Malkins of the world? And we know this for the Predators. We've talked about it. Like, offensively, just not there right now. Like, you've got a lineup that is – scratching and clawing and doing everything they can possibly do to get the two goals. Like, that's what it's been basically for the last couple of weeks for the Predators. maybe that's the formula it's going to have to be tonight. I've talked about it. Like, that's a hard way to win in the NHL. But, you know, I would assume Saros is going again tonight. He was electric the other night. He was really good against Boston. You're going to need another performance like him. I saw, you know, Sean Shapiro covers the NHL for The Athletic. Throw it out there yesterday. He said, Predators are going to UC Saros their way into the playoffs, aren't they? And it's like, well, maybe. I mean, he played pretty well the other night against Boston.
That's about what it will have to be, I would think, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're going to start putting 5-6 goals up in a stretch here. I wouldn't think.
Yeah, for sure. So it's one of those things where also you look at the lineup, and is there a chance that Roman Josi returns tonight? We had David Poile on the show on Tuesday, and he said that Roman Josi was on the trip. Obviously, he is. We just heard from Roman Josi in the post-game speech in the locker room in Boston the other night. Is he ready? Is he ready to go tonight? And, you know, how comfortable are the Predators putting him in there? I mean, obviously he's close, which is good, but is he ready to go tonight? Obviously that would be a huge boost, not only defensively, but offensively. I mean, Tyson Barry has basically been carrying them offensively through the weekend, and he's a defenseman. We know what Roman Josi can do offensively, and maybe Roman Josi back in the lineup can generate you another goal or two in a game that you just otherwise wouldn't have. They need it.
Just imagine, like, you know, just a couple months ago, Tyson Barry's carrying these the Predators offensively. Like, it's amazing sometimes looking out there and you're like, wow, this lineup is just a little bit different than it used to be not too long ago. But yeah, I would think that with Josi along for the ride, that they must have felt pretty decent. I mean, I suppose it's good to have his, you know, he's talked to the team without playing the other night, so it's not like it's not important to have him around. But I would think there'd be a pretty good chance.
Yeah,
that was kind of the expectation if he went on a two-game trip that he'd play on one of them.
Yep, I would think that there would be a good chance of that as well, and that would be huge for the Predators in order to get that back. You know, you look at the lineup right now. You know, Cody Glass has been playing well lately. He's scoring goals. I don't know if you saw his shot against Boston. That's a heck of a shot he had for his goal the other night against the Bruins. And, you know, we asked the question yesterday, what exactly is he as they move forward here? I still don't know that I know for sure. I've really liked a lot of what I've seen from him this year. I don't know that I'm there yet in terms of, yeah, that guy's the number one center for you as you move forward. But I've been encouraged by what I've seen from that end this year. Obviously, Novak's been playing well lately. You know, they moved Afanasyev up to begin the game on Tuesday in the top six, just with Duchesne being out. I mean, you got to find some pieces to put in the top six right now. But is that a thing again tonight, or can Evangelista get back rolling and get back putting the puck in the back of the net? I mean, they offensively are just scratching and clawing right now, and which young guy can step up is basically the question you're asking heading into every game right now, because the options at forward for older guys are pretty limited right now.
Yeah. But, I mean, look, if you're a Preds fan, I got to think, you know, I know it's not fun if your team scores one goal, but it's got to be kind of fun to look at a bunch of young guys who have their best hockey ahead of them trying to scrounge offense as opposed to, you know, older guys who you're wondering if they've played their best hockey.
Yeah, for sure. And then there's the other side of things. Like, we've seen Crosby and Malkin, when they really need them to come through before, they've done it. Like the other day, they played a big game against Washington, and Anthony Mantha, the Capitals, just had a brutal turnover right in the middle of the ice to Malkin, and he put it away. Like those guys, time and time again, we've seen, I mean, they won three cups. They've made big plays when it matters the most. This is a huge game for them. Like they really need to have this one. So whatever the best version is of the Penguins, and I don't know what version that is. I don't think they're all that good this year, but whatever that best version is, I think especially to begin the game tonight, you're probably going to see that if you're the Predators. And can you weather that? Like, can you weather that storm? Can these young guys in a high-pressure situation go in there? Well, I should say high pressure for Pittsburgh. It's going to be high pressure for Pittsburgh. Are the Predators freed up enough to go in there, and maybe they're young enough to not really recognize the magnitude of the game they're playing in tonight? Sometimes we've seen that in sports that helps some of the younger guys out sometimes.
Yeah, well, you know, but that could be. I mean, but obviously they're playing for a lot too.
They are.
This is where the experience you would think would help the Penguins. But, I mean, weird stuff happens down the stretch, I think, especially in this league.
Well, if Saros plays like he did the other night, that is, I mean, that's an equalizer out there.
Yeah. Speaking of the Capitals, by the way, is this it for Laviolette there?
I think it may be. I mean, they're look, they've already sold off. They're not making the playoffs. They're 5 points back, and they've got 7 games left. So they're not making the playoffs. But, you know, it kind of feels like his shelf life. Now, it's been a weird year for them, too. They've had some injuries, and then Ovechkin lost his dad, and he was out for a while. And it's been kind of a weird year that way. But it's also like you look at their team, and it's Oshie, and it's Carlson, and it's Ovechkin. A lot of guys they won the cup with, and they're not getting any younger. I mean, you know, Kuznetsov is there. They still have some talent there, but they're not getting any younger. I think there's a decent chance that he's gone after this year. And then what does that look? Is he getting another job?
I'm just saying so he'd be available.
He would be available, yes.
Interesting.
So you think they could really go full circle, get Barry Trotz back in as general, coming back in the organization as GM, and then just go out there and be like, Peter, you want to come on home?
Just have all this, yeah, like the same like 3 or 4 people, just different roles
just
at all
circulate.
Times.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, could he be head coach or would he have to do something else? Peter, you want to come be an assistant coach?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Seems like Peter Laviolette would really love that. As the personality
PR?
For
yeah. Come do PR?
Yeah, you want to come do some – hey, you want to come deal with the media every day, Peter? We know you loved it while you were here.
Vingan would be clamoring to get back on the beat.
He would. Yes, he would. Oh, man. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Some other big games around the league tonight in the Western Conference. Edmonton taking on L.A. By the way, Victor Arvidsson had a heck of a week last week. He was the number one star in the NHL. So big matchup tonight between the Kings and the Oilers. The Ducks taking on the Kraken and Vegas and San Jose Sharks. So not really a great night in terms of matchups in the NHL on the Western Conference side of things, but the L.A.-Edmonton game should be interesting. And both Matthias Ekholm and Victor Arvidsson, former Preds, playing very well as of late. So we'll
RV Hustle
goes.
Still works, baby.
RV Hustle is getting after it out there, so we'll see what happens on that front. Speaking of the Nashville Predators, coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators assistant coach Dan Hynote. We'll get his thoughts on the matchup tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are scheduled to be joined shortly by Predators assistant coach Dan Hynote as the Preds prepare to take on the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight on the second game of a 2-game road trip. They'll be back coming up on Saturday for another afternoon matchup against the St. Louis Blues. So a little bit of a stretch of afternoon hockey on Saturdays lately for the Predators, which I love. I'm a big fan of afternoon hockey.
Yeah, I like afternoon hockey too. I feel like the Preds don't like it that much in terms of performance.
I mean,
in the last
couple
of years,
it did not go well this past Saturday for sure. And now that I'm thinking about it, it did not go well the Saturday prior to that.
Right? Like I feel like it hasn't been great for them.
Now they did absolutely destroy the Florida Panthers in an afternoon game a month ago. So there's
okay.
That.
That's not all bad.
Mixed results.
Yeah.
Except it does feel like a lot of those have gone poorly lately.
Yeah.
Maybe the Predators like
maybe
the,
Nick Kuezer can add all those up.
Maybe so. We need the reporter to get in there and add all those up. Maybe the real secret to the home ice advantage part of it could be the nighttime at Bridgestone too. Just night adds a different element to it.
Yeah. Little you know, people done a little more pre gaming.
Well, there is that could take place as well. 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators assistant coach Dan Hynote. Dan, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're great.
Good.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Dan, we were talking about just the win, the emotion in the win the other night against Boston. Obviously, we all know and we've discussed what happened in this city, just a horrible situation, but you know, sports can sometimes be uplifting and can be a distraction when you've got real-life terrible things going on in your city. And I think your team certainly accomplished that the other day with what they were able to do with the Boston Bruins. What was it like being a part of that game and being a part of that locker room after the win in Boston?
Well, it was very emotional, obviously, with what happened and the boys kind of using a rallying cry to help, you know, bring the city a little bit of arrest, you know, from the drama and everything like that. And, you know, like you said, if you can provide that distraction and in a time like that, then the boys are obviously glad to do it. And so they pulled together, and it was a great emotional win for everybody.
How many times have you had a 17-year-old read the lineup there, Dan, before the game?
Well, and that's the other thing too, right? It's everything kind of just worked out how it was supposed to, with McDonough meeting Caleb on the flight, and then, you know, Caleb getting a chance to read the lineup card, and then, you know, now we have to fly him from city to city just for luck. But it was great, and you know, like I said, it just kind of worked out how it was supposed to work out. So that's a fun part about sports.
So, Dan, setting up a really big one tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins. What do you make? Obviously, we were talking to David Poile the other day. The injuries that you guys have sustained has been borderline absurd lately, but the young guys have stepped in and they've hung in there. What do you make of the way that your young players in particular have embraced the situation that they're in and have allowed you guys to remain in this thing in the playoff race?
Yeah, you know what? It's been great, and it's a testament to our scouting staff and you know, to our minor league system to have these players at our disposal and have them ready when it is time for them to come join us. So, you know, so kudos to those two departments, but also, you know, these kids are hungry. They're coming in, they got all kinds of energy. A lot of them have, you know, decent puck skills and good speed. And, you know, if you can get guys believing, which, you know, Coach Hines has done a great job with that, if you can get them to believe that they can compete and win in this league, that, you know, sometimes that can be a powerful force, especially at this time of the season.
Yeah, and obviously you guys are all chasing something right now, but you are looking at these guys individually, and I guess, you know, you're trying to develop players, you're thinking ahead of what they could be. As you look at some of these guys, Dan, how much more growth to the ceiling, let's say, you know, an Evangelista, for example, is there still to come?
Yeah, I think for all those young kids, you know, and I include Cody Glass in that statement, that with, you know, Novak and Evangelista and Sherwood and, you know, these young guys that have come up and had success, I think the ceiling for these guys is far away still. I think there's tons of room for development, you know, physically, but I think as far as the game is concerned as well, you know, we were laughing the other day because these kids, they come up and they're all hungry and they got vinegar in their bloodstream, but then, you know, the NHL will rear its ugly head with our schedule, right? It's, you know, 5-8 and 6-9 or whatever it ends up being. And you realize real quick, you cannot survive on adrenaline alone in this league. So it's great because they got, you know, they're getting to learn firsthand how you have to prepare in this league. And night in and night out, you know, you have to take care of yourself. And if you spend one night where you don't get good sleep, next thing you know, you're three games in a row where you just haven't felt good. So, you know, it's a great lesson for our young guys to kind of go through all of that.
Preds assistant coach Dan Hynote with us here on Robbie and Rex Row. Dan, what have been your impressions of Igor Afanasyev and what he's brought to the table for you guys thus far?
You know, he's been really good since he's come up. You know, he's a big body. He can skate. He's got a rocket for a shot if he can get it off. But, he's kind of grasped his opportunity and has worked through it in the sense of, like, he's been physical. He's hard on the forecheck. When he can shoot it, he's been shooting. So, you know, he's taken it and ran with it a little bit, which has been great. You know, he's not getting a ton of time special teams wise, but his 5-on-5 games has been north and south, which is exactly how he needs to play.
So the huge game for you guys, obviously, tonight, Dan, but obviously also a huge game for Pittsburgh, and we know the achievement. We know the great players on that side. How do you guys approach this, you know, with this young team, this opportunity, and how much can momentum from the last game be a factor?
Yeah, well, it has to be. You know, we need to use every ounce of opportunity that we can get, and if you can use the momentum from Boston's win into tonight, first period, then perfect. You know, it's the key for us is that our young guys can't sit and watch, you know, Malkin and Crosby, and, you know, we recently played them, so there's a little bit of that which helps a ton. You know, but still at the same time, you got, you know, there's still Crosby and Malkin on the ice and Letang and these guys that half of our young squad has watched growing up. So, you know, you have to respect them, but you can't sit and watch them play. You have to compete against these guys and make it hard. You know, like Evangelista did his first time against, you know, I think Malcolm was one of his favorite players growing up, and, you know, I think he got him pretty good physically in that one shift, which is perfect. That's what you want from these young guys, because as much as you respect them and have watched these guys growing up, you still have to compete with them and win your puck battles, et cetera. So that's going to be the key tonight, is that we start this game, you know, right from the opening drop and give everything we got until the final whistle.
Dan, we talked to David Poile the other day. Obviously, Roman Josi is on the trip. Poile said there's a chance he could play against Pittsburgh. Is there any clarity on that situation with Josi? And if you do get him back, how big of a boost would that be, not just defensively, but offensively and everything that we know that he can bring to the table with what's going on offensively right now?
Yeah, well, he provides us a ton, both offensively, defensively, emotionally. You know, he's our leader. And for good reason. And these young guys look up to him, and you know, everything he said is gold when he is speaking to these young guys. So it would help us a ton if and when he comes back. I don't have any clarity as to when, but or if tonight. But I just know when he does come back, it's going to be a huge help in every single way.
Dan, on that sense, what have you learned about Tyson Barrie as a player now, being able to, you know, be up close with him for a stretch here?
Well, you know what? What's impressive is his patience with the puck. You know, he's a good puck mover. His instincts offensively, you can see, are really good, when to and when not to. But I think I've been most surprised with his patience with the puck. I think I don't know that I gave him credit for that before, having seen him day in and day out now, but he's able to let plays develop a little bit longer than most guys when he has the puck, because he's got that ice in his veins, which, you know, you can't teach, you can't coach. So to me, that's what's been most impressive, is his puck patience.
Predator assistant coach Dan Hynote, our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Dan, really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Good luck tonight against Pittsburgh, and we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Absolutely. Preds assistant coach Dan Hynote with us here on Robbie and Rexroad. Preds taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight on the road. Again, puck drop at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, that's a coaching phrase that is pretty common when you're dealing with a young group, is like, you can't stand around and watch Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin do their things. Like, there's a such thing as too much respect that sometimes those players get around the league, and I'm interested to see how the Predators handle that tonight. Now, they did make a move yesterday that's an interesting one. They signed Jake Livingstone to an entry-level contract, and he's been at Minnesota State. He put up 80 points in 111 games at Minnesota State and was one of the top college free agents out there and available. So it looks like he could join the team on Saturday, so we'll see what happens there, but maybe adding to the young mix a little bit with college free agents. College free agency world in the NHL is always fun, because Predators fans get to think back of Jimmy VC. Yes, very good stuff.
Yeah, well, they need more young guys, you know, in the pipeline, defensemen, which is crazy to say, but
they
it's
do.
True. And also, by the way, that used to be Mankato State, which to me is a cooler sounding name, but whatever.
I would agree. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your submissions, your best and worst things in sports, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, as you do every week, would you like to kick us off with your best and worst things in sports?
Yeah, and I think on the best front, certainly whatever you guys want to do, I think, but we could, you know, we've been talking about the Preds and this week and all. I mean, I think that's almost like a
gimme.
Well, yeah, but it's like one of my favorite classic rock stations of Virginia. you know, they do like a top 300, but mm-hmm. they would just retire Stairway to Heaven and Freebird. Like yeah. those two are like they don't count. They're automatic.
They're automatic.
You know what I mean?
No, yeah.
You play them at the end of the whole thing. But anyway, so but if you guys want to do that, that's fine. I am going to go a different direction, and I'm going to go with Caitlin Clark of Iowa. And you've talked about it, Robbie. I mean, you ranted about like
I have.
Like. I mean, she does not disappoint, and her last performance was just spectacular. Getting Iowa to the Final Four with a game which apparently the ratings for that game better than any NBA game this year. I mean, it's another example, I think, her, but also the improvement in terms of the television schedule and access to this tournament shows you. I mean, people are going to watch women's sports if you let them watch women's sports. And she's spectacular, and I am absolutely geeked about Caitlin Clark in Iowa against South Carolina. I don't think they're going to beat South Carolina, but you know what? I mean, she just had a 40-point triple-double.
Beast.
Can she get 50? Because she might need 50. I am all about that game. So it's just been awesome to watch. Just spectacular. And then my worst, we'll flip it around to the men's side. The people complaining about this Final Four, just shut up.
Why are our brains the same?
Where are these? Were these both yours?
What are people complaining about? Just that there's no blue blood, yeah, quote unquote, in there.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, like so. Yesterday, you know, Jared's gone, so we did Joe versus Caroline, and I mean, I agree with what Caroline's saying. Like, people aren't as excited. But the point I made was, you know, the funny thing is, like, last year was this blue blood Final Four, and it was Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, and who was the fourth team?
Villanova.
And then Nova was in there too. But you know that North Carolina last year actually profiled as a worse team than Florida Atlantic this year.
Yeah.
Like KenPom and anything else you want to look at, like Florida Atlantic's a way better team this year than North Carolina last year. North Carolina's actually been crap the last 2 years, and they had like a couple weeks where they got hot in the tournament.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
But it's North Carolina, so I get it. And I understand that, look, I mean, I'd be excited to watch Alabama try to beat somebody this weekend too, bigger brand names, but these teams are good. These teams are good. So embrace these games. This tournament is wacky and wild, and this one especially. So let's stop complaining and enjoy the basketball.
Shout out to the Owls. That's all I got to say. Shout out to the Owls.
I mean, hey, man, those guys, you got to hand it to them. I mean, they've almost been bounced several times. I thought Tennessee was, you know, just going to grind out about an 8-10-point win over them. I thought there's no way they're going to beat K-State. Here they are.
Here they are, and who knows? We could see a national title game that I guess you could just play in Fort Lauderdale if you really wanted to. Miami and FAU just meet in the middle somewhere.
I mean, just the battle for South Florida.
That's right.
So exciting.
Michelle Knezvik, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Well, every week we do this segment, I find out more and more Joe and I's brains are very similar because I quite literally
I
had
mind.
The I had the exact two same ones, but I'll go a different route, I guess you could say. So, you know, off of just the women's sports and the Caitlin Clark, if you look at the Final Four ticket prices right now and you compare the men's to the women's, I mean, I think the cheapest ticket for the women's is $230-something, and the cheapest for the men's is like $85.
Which is wild.
And I think it just shows, you know, from bottom up, and it takes a long time to expand sports as a whole, but you're seeing, you know, it's not just the UConns and the Lady Vols and things like that, like South Carolina and Iowa. The game has just expanded so much, and I think you also can bring that to the men's side too, right? We're finally seeing, you know, a non-Power 5 school, FAU, that could win this thing and has a really good shot at winning this championship. I know UConn looks pretty good right now, but I just think it's awesome. I love the parity in college basketball. So I'm very excited for all this. And then on the flip side, Joe and I have the same one. So they just... It's people complaining about this. I mean, last year, people were so on the St. Peter's train, and they're like, we want to see it, we want to see it. I'm so sick of all the blue bloods, and then we give it to you. And now all of a sudden, people care about TV ratings. They're like, oh, we're not going to watch this. It's like, are you kidding? Like, this is what we've wanted. People get so sick of the Kentuckys, the UConns. UNC's, Kansas, all this stuff, Duke. I'm a Kentucky fan, and I'm so excited for it. And don't say it's not as good basketball, because they beat those teams. They beat Tennessee, who was one of the best teams in the country. Kansas State, you know, San Diego State beat Alabama. So, you know, they deserve to be here. And just because they don't have a historic program does not mean they're any less good. So those are my best and worst this week.
I agree with all that. I've always said, though, that people want upsets for the first part, and then they don't want them after
And then they don't want them.
They don't want them after
Right,
that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I
get excited, too. I mean, I was excited about Duke Carolina last year. I mean, sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's embrace the variety.
Let's embrace the variety. All right, my best thing in sports, I got a few that I could roll through. I mean, the Preds, and we've talked about it already, the speech in Boston after the win. Great job by the Preds the other night. I will give my best thing in sports in addition to that. Did you see Vanderbilt baseball over the weekend? They put up about 3,000 runs against the Mississippi State Bulldogs. It was unbelievable. Now, look, I don't know. Look, obviously Vanderbilt deserves credit for that. It was their bats. They put up 26 the first night against Mississippi State, and I think it was 18 the second night, and then only a measly 11 in the third game. So it came down dramatically just to 11 runs in the third game. But the bats of Vanderbilt coming alive against Mississippi State. So, look, we talked about it last year. Got to have those bats if you're Vanderbilt, and they've been coming alive lately. And Vanderbilt heading into a weekend series against Georgia coming up. So the Doors, the Vandy boys, that was my best thing in sports. It was when I looked down, I said, 26. They put up 26 runs in an SEC baseball game. It's unbelievable to watch that the other night.
Yeah, like that's supposed to be the question.
Exactly.
You know, they've got arms all over the place, but the bats are flying. And this is their first 6-0 start, I believe.
I think so.
Which is wild.
Kind of crazy.
It is. Yeah. So
we'll see if Vanderbilt can keep it going against Georgia coming up. An additional best thing in sports, just because apparently I have a lot of best things in sports this week. My guy Dwayne Wade making it into the Hall of Fame. I don't think that's a big surprise.
And Becky
there,
Hammond.
But, yep. But D. Wade getting in there. Not a big surprise, but shout out to D. Nice. Wade for getting in there. My worst thing in sports, and we talked about it before we came on air today, Joe, the Dallas Mavericks. This idea that trading for Kyrie Irving was going to somehow work out for the Dallas Mavericks is just hilarious to me. We looked at each other at the time, and I said, well, that's a horrible idea because Luka Doncic has the ball the whole time, and Kyrie Irving's going to want it the whole time. It's not going to work, and they've lost 5 in a row, and they may not make the playoffs with the way that they've been playing as of late. And you got Kyrie on the floor last night. He was talking about how, well, I didn't expect this to happen. This is not what I had in mind when coming to Dallas. I was like, well, but it's not what they had in mind either when you came to Dallas, but – you know, just seems to happen with you lately. So, look, I don't like Kyrie Irving. I've made that pretty clear on this program here before. He's probably my least favorite athlete in the history of the world. But, I don't know, Chris Paul would probably challenge him for that too. But it's kind of funny to watch this totally fall apart. But I do feel bad for Luka Doncic and the Mavs. Sometimes, think smarter, not harder. And this is not working out so well for the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah. The thing is, I want them in the playoffs, though. Like I want them in there. I want to see it. I watched a fair amount of that game last night, and actually, what I saw was Kyrie just basically deferring. Kyrie Irving just like standing in the corner, like he's just like a 3-and-D shooter, and Luka's just. And I like Luka a lot. Luka's a great player, but sometimes it's like, dude, do something other than just back people down for 20 seconds.
Right.
I mean, he's a tremendous player, but it doesn't work.
It does not.
It does not work.
It does not at all.
And it's too bad because, yeah, right now they're a game out of the 10 spot to even be in the play-in.
Which is hilarious. I must say, I enjoy it.
It is, but like as a basketball fan, like I do want to watch them in the thing. So I guess I'm with you on your worst thing, but I'm rooting for it to get better.
Got a texter that says, Mississippi State has no pitching. Stop celebrating. This from a texter.
Well, that's fine.
They put up 26 runs in a Division I college baseball game.
Yeah. It's pretty wild to see what Mississippi State has become since winning it all, right?
Yes.
Jeez.
No question about it. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into a piece that Joe Rexrode has come out with on The Athletic from Pro Day in Columbus, Ohio, following the Tennessee Titans around. We'll get into that. Several different topics that Rexrode brought up in his piece at The Athletic. We'll get into all that as well. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.